I've been waiting a lot of years to do that.
It worked.
I'd like to call to order and welcome everyone to the meeting of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee. Ms. Wright, would you please call the roll?
Yes, thank you. Trustee Robert Boy.
Here.
Trustee John Butler. Trustee Wheeler Coleman.
Here.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir.
Here.
Trustee Tim Struthers.
Here.
Trustee James Zanayed.
Here.
Board Chair Mark Strauss.
Here.
Committee Chair Robert Marshall.
Here. Mr. Blakemore, would you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Mr. Chair, we do have a quorum, and the meeting has been called in compliance with the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda with the amendment to allow 8B to move ahead of 8A to improve the flow of today's presentations?
So moved.
I have a second. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We now go to the minutes of the February 18th meeting. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of that meeting?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I guess that there are chair's comments. I've cut this down from the 10 pages that I came in with, and I'm going to ask a favor of those who will be presenting. Without losing the content of whatever you wanted to bring into the presentation, I ask if you can at points summarize where, unfortunately, we can do battle a little better with the clock. I should go back for a moment to our graduations of this past weekend. I have some of the statistics in front of me, and I'll say that it was an adventure to attend the graduation. But I will say that in some of the numbers, there was a total of 2,700 graduates at the four ceremonies that have taken place so far, and I guess the law school is still coming, which means about 75% of the 3,619 students that graduated were part of the ceremonies. I have no doubt that NUI, excuse me, NUI, after being here for some 60 years with NIU, and I'm calling it that, NIU transforms the lives of our students and ensures the future of our state. That's happened because, in large part, of the extra efforts of the extended NIU family. And those students have received benefits that include sometimes being a sounding board, sometimes being the sponsor of a student organization, sometimes just being there to mentor or to give that extra hour. And it doesn't happen only in the faculty ranks. All across this university, there are students who say, well, I do remember so-and-so gave me some help when I had a problem. So NIU is an extended family, and I hope that it will continue to be so. Now, today we actually will be dealing with four approval items as well as two presentations related to NIU's focus on diversity and inclusion. Many of us have been looking forward to these presentations, and along with some of the action items today, we'll count at least the recommendation for faculty promotions, faculty tenure, and promotions with tenure for 2016-2017. A request for a new degree program, the Bachelor of Fine Arts in Dance Performance, the request for a new degree program, the Master of Science in Athletic Training, and finally, the review of the Oral English Proficiency Annual Report from the previous academic year of 2014-2015. After we complete the action items, we'll first hear from Dr. Vernice Edkill Walden, who started at NIU last August. She is our first Chief Diversity Officer and Senior Associate Vice President for Academic Diversity. She will be updating us on the progress of her office Second, we'll hear from Dr. Frederick Hoard, the Executive Director of the Association for Black Culture Centers. We'll learn a little bit about the impact that that organization can have in supporting the mission of the university. Now, before we go into that agenda, we have a section for public comment, and in that mode, we'll ask Mr. Blakemore if you have any members of the public registered as written requesters to address the board in accordance with the state law and Board of Trustee bylaws.
Mr. Chair, we do have two requests for speakers. They are Mr. Van Muir and Ms. Virginia Naples.
Okay. I can assume that we can proceed. Okay.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. As you are aware, there is a procurement issue with Mr. Juan Walter's consulting work. The Chief Procurement Officer for Higher Education for the state, Mr. Ben Bagley, sent an email to NIU regarding an article in the Northern Star in March 2015. VP Phillips called Mr. Bagley and explained that Mr. Walters was an employee, and thus there was no procurement issue. I saw this email a few weeks ago, and as you are aware, Mr. Walters kept a spreadsheet of his hours and arrears, which he used to invoice NIU for his services. The spreadsheet was used by Mr. Walters and Mr. Baker to change Mr. Walters' salary to catch up and pay his arrears hours. I contacted Mr. Bagley and provided most of the information I had on Mr. Walters' compensation, and that's the same information that I provided to you with some additional information. Today, I'm here to talk about an article that was posted May 11, 2016 on the Edgar County Watchdog's website. I immediately sent this article to Mr. Bagley, again, the Chief Procurement Officer for the state of, for higher education for the state of Illinois, for him to investigate. I have provided you a hard copy of the article, but you want to access the post online so you can look at the background documents provided as hyperlinks. Here are some of the main points of the article on the procurement issue with Alvarez subcontract with Pew Jones. The NIU Police Department was raided in March 2013 by the FBI, Department of Ed, etc. NIU press releases at the time confirmed that this raid was focused solely on the police department and due to the Department of Education involvement. It appears to have an emphasis on violation of the Clearly Act. In response to the investigation, NIU retained the services of Pew Jones and Johnson, PC, as outside counsel specifically to represent them on this issue. Ms. Sutterfield, interim CFO at the time, had directly contacted Mark Sherman of Alvarez, a firm specializing in white-collar fraud. She negotiated the scope and cost and entered into a verbal contract with Mr. Sherman. Ms. Sutterfield appears to have deliberately ignored the open bid requirement of state procurement rules, so therefore this agreement could not be processed as a separate and distinct contract under state rules. After Mrs. Sutterfield had wrapped up her negotiation with Sherman, she emailed Preston Pugh of Pugh Jones. Again, emails are as a hyperlink, and instructed him to draft the agreement between NIU and Alvarez as if it was a subcontract to Pugh Jones. Own existing contract, again, for the federal investigation of the police department. As you may recall, the Board of Trustees had increased the purchase order by approximately $200,000 after Alvarez issued invoices for an amount exceeding the amount available in the purchase order. Again, the reason being for the federal investigation. They presented it to you and you approved this, I think it was $215,000. This week, I received the following email as part of the FOIA request, and it's on sheet three. The first two pages are double printed, so. Please note what Mrs. Sutterfield said in her email. There was no written report for Mark Sherman, just an oral report to me. You pay $468,000 and there's no written report? Just an oral report to a single person? And the reason being to keep the cost of the work as low as possible. $468,000. Pretty low, huh? An oral report to the person that hired the firm for reasons unknown. If you look further down the email, you will see that Mrs. Sutterfield forwarded an email that represents the findings of ARES. The findings and recommendations are for the procurement and P cards. Federal investigation? Maybe you can find out how Oliver's work relates to the federal investigation that the PO was set up for. Two procurement issues that cost the state and I wanted just to note that I heard Mr. VP Fellows mention the changes to procurement and the P cards, and maybe it would have been this report from Alvarez. Two procurement issues that cost the state taxpayers and NIU approximately $1 million. Please take the time to investigate fully these two procurement issues. As I have said to the board previously, Mr. Baker either should be put on administration leave or fired pending due process. Any questions? Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We have a second speaker coming up.
Yes. I would like to thank the Board of Trustees for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Just wanted to mention that I now have finally turned in my grades, and I have completed my 32nd year at Northern Illinois University on the Faculty in Biological Sciences. So I have been a long-term employee and a long-term loyal member of this community. And in accord with the ethics requirements, which I did take and I passed, it requires me to point out things that I think are not going as well as should go. So one of the things that I want to do is to talk today just quickly with you about this handout that I have provided. I have copies enough for the Board of Trustees and some additional people as well, about the issues of the increasing percentage of the university budget and the increasing number of personnel that are involved in the highest level of administration. And if I can go to the next slide. What I did was I present a graphic form here. All of my data have come from the working papers, so these are all of public record. No confidentiality of any individual is being breached here. I only can go to 2014 fiscal year because the working papers are not up to date. And I would request that working papers be made available up until the present time, because we still are using a budget even though the state has not yet provided us with one. But if you take a look at this, what we are seeing for these 5 years is that we are having a constant increase of the number of highest level administrators as well as an increase in the number of salaries. Keep in mind, this is also in an atmosphere where the university is said to be broke, and certainly the state budget this year hasn't helped. But the idea is that even though there is no money, administrators' positions are being increased in numbers, salaries are being increased, and the faculty numbers are not increasing, and the salaries are remaining essentially stagnant. And this is the numbers that have changed from 2010 to 2014. And you should have, those of you that have the handouts have those available. And you can see that we have, I'm looking for the pointer thing. I can just come over here anyway.
Ma'am? Yes. You don't, if you're not at the microphone, it won't be recorded.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, you can take a look at the numbers. I can't find the, maybe this is it? No? But go ahead and take a look at the numbers and look at the trends and how they change. This is the number of tenured and tenure track faculty, and they are declining precipitously, as you can see in the graphs. And there are an increase in the non-tenure track and instructor categories. And these parallels also are dropping they are paralleling the drop in student enrollment. And this is of great concern to me because we are expected to do more and more with less and less, and as far as I can tell, our faculty are doing precisely that as best they possibly can. Unfortunately, when you get to a certain point where resources are not available, students understand that, and they take themselves and their opportunities for getting an education elsewhere. The last thing that Illinois can afford in this present climate is to lose our brain power and to lose the future, which is our students who would get a good education in Illinois and gainful employment here, which would help all of us. And these are the numbers of looking at the numbers of faculty, the tenure track in all of the departments, full-time, no rank faculty in other departments, and student enrollment on the third line. And the data come, in this case, from the NIU data book, the 2014-2015 edition. And there's the link that is listed there for you. In conclusion, I'd like to say that the present system, with a major amount of expansion in administration, both budget and numbers of personnel, is unsustainable, and this is unsustainable even if we did not have the present state budget crisis. And the problem with the administration receiving additional benefits and increases in salary is not unperceived by the faculty or also the staff, which I don't have the data to be able to speak about at the moment. But that is the core reason why faculty morale is extremely low, and it's getting lower, and this is going to result in loss of faculty. Everyone talks about student enrollment, student recruitment, student retention, but those issues are paralleling the situation with the faculty as well. And further erosion of the ability for the faculty to complete their teaching, research, and service opportunities are going to result in additional loss of students. And that is independent of the budget crisis in the state of Illinois, which is obviously not helping, and for which I do not blame our administration or our Board of Trustees in any manner. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have questions?
No, I was saying thank you for the presentation. Okay. At this time, I'd like to recognize the members representing the University Advisory Committee that are in attendance. Professor Dan Gebo? No? Yes. Okay, Dan. Professor Leanne Vanderkrieg, or Vandykrieg, I apologize. I'd also like to recognize Faculty Senate President Greg Long. From the group, individual comments, please.
Sure. Thank you, Trustee Marshall. Wanted to, as far as the agenda goes, voice my support for the faculty promotions and tenure recommendations, as well as the various program recommendations. Those have all been well vetted and reviewed within campus, and want to say hopefully the board will be supportive of those actions. In terms of information items, I noticed we've got a report from the Chief Diversity Officer and would also like to support the work that she's been doing and plans have been made around campus. Think that's a very helpful addition to the administration. Then a final point would just be I support Professor Naples' concerns with regard to looking at salaries and administration. We are moving forward on some of those issues I can talk about later. As needed with regard to a faculty salary study that's being done. But yes, I think the points that are raised as far as looking at enrollment and faculty retention and supports are valuable and important.
Other commentary?
Holly Nicholson, operating staff.
Oh, my apologies. Holly
Nicholson.
I apologize because I have a general script. And I have to say that I didn't spot your name, but next time.
I understand. Thank you so much. The quality and effectiveness of shared governance was questioned in the Carl meeting earlier, and I just wanted to make a comment on that. And I wanted to say that the communication, collaboration, and transparency in shared governance has been stronger than it's been in many years, and it continues to improve. The Program Prioritization Task Force recommended enhanced resources for shared governance, and we're currently undergoing a thorough review and reform of constitution and bylaws. So there's always room for improvement, and I think we can use those opportunities to continue to strengthen shared governance in NIU. Thank you.
With a question, Mark, we have an ad hoc committee dealing with governance. And I was going to ask Mark the length of time that we've been in action. I know it's been hectic and there's been a lot done, but over, has it hit a year?
Well, that committee has been in existence for 2 years now.
Three.
Two.
We'll take it. I know that there are numbers of questions on governance, and the reason that I ask Mark that question is that simply some people do not know that there are ongoing improvements, the Ad Hoc Committee on Governance being one of them. And I can, since I'm a member of it, I can state that they have been very thorough in the work that they're doing, and it calls for the inclusion of all constituencies. Okay, at this time, I'd like to ask if the university report via Dr. Freeman, our Executive Vice President and Provost.
Thank you, Chair Marshall. Our first agenda item in the university report is Agenda Item 7A, Recommendations for Faculty Promotions, Tenure, and Promotions with Tenure for years 2016-17. So I point out that there is a typo on the screen, and we will correct that in the electronic version. I think it was correct in the agenda, but a misprint on the item. I want to say that our faculty are remarkable. One of the true pleasures of being provost is getting to review the tenure and promotion applications of these individuals who are so dedicated to all aspects of NIU's mission, teaching and learning, research, scholarship, artistry, outreach, and engagement. I'll note that we see a number of early promotion and tenure decisions made this year, and I want to emphasize for everybody here that this in absolutely no way indicates that we are relaxing our standards, but rather it indicates that we are fortunate to continue to hire exemplar individuals who are able to do things better, faster, smarter, and exceed all expectations. So the university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 16, 2016.
May I entertain a motion? Discussion? Since there's no apparent discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chair. Just to make sure that I'm in accordance with state statute.
Thank you. We will go with the roll call vote. Would the secretary please call the roll call vote?
Yes, thank you. Trustee Robert Boy?
Yes.
Trustee Wheeler Coleman?
Yes.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Struthers?
Yes.
Trustee James Zenayed? Board Chair Mark Strauss?
Yes.
Committee Chair Robert Marshall.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do we have any of the newly tenured or promoted individuals with us in the audience? If not, let's give them a round of applause in absentia anyway. Moving on to item 7B. Item 7B is the request for a new degree program, a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Dance Performance. We have two requests for new degree programs this morning. I'll point out that they are both requests that carry no cost but add value to the institution. I know that Associate Dean Melanie Parks from the College of Visual and Performing Arts is here to answer any questions the trustees may have or make a brief summary of the new degree. Thank you.
I was going to
for the recommendation.
I was going to do it after she summarized.
Okay.
Good morning.
I'm sorry.
I'm tall. So thank you for having me today. Just a few words about our proposal for the BFA in dance performance. We currently have this program within three different emphases in the BFA theater degree, and so we're asking to kind of have this as a standalone degree for several reasons. The National Association for Schools of Theater are the people who review us for accreditation, but they do not review the dance program simply because there are not enough courses that are taken in dance with the theater. There's a core of classes of 12 credit hours. So breaking this out into its own degree will give us a lot more visibility. It will allow us to recruit in venues where we have not been able to recruit before. Currently, if you do a search and you're looking for BFA dance programs, NIU does not come up because we're a little bit buried within the current degree. So all good stuff. It's not requiring any more resources. The requirements for coursework is not changing. The only thing would be the name of the degree, and it would be a standalone degree. So that's what we're looking at.
So the university is recommending that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse the request for a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree program in dance performance to be offered at NIU and ask that the president forward it by means of his report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its next meeting, or the June 16th meeting.
The chair will entertain that motion. Discussion, please.
I'm very supportive of this. I think it's in today's world of the arts, it's an important identification. I was wondering, especially given the fact that in Chicago we have the marvelous Harris Theater, which really focuses its attention on dance, has NIU explored opportunities for any type of integration with the Harris Theater?
I'm not aware of that. Sounds
something
great,
maybe
though.
To,
it does sound good.
Something maybe to think about, because
yes,
its primary orientation is dance, and both traditional and experimental type. So
which we do.
Yeah. So it's just something I think that, especially given that if it's approved today, it will have its own identity, that the opportunity,
right,
this might even give you more opportunity for collaboration with entities such as the Harris Theater in the future.
That sounds great.
Good.
Thank you.
Other discussion? If no further discussion, I would call for a vote on the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
Okay, moving forward to agenda item C, the request for a new degree, a Master of Science in Athletic Training degree. I believe Bill Pitney is here from the KNPE department. Like the previous request, this one reflects an accreditor's recommendation and a change in what the market sees as the appropriate first professional degree. Dr. Pitney.
Yes, thank you. And our program's been nationally accredited since 1999, and has served at the bachelor's level. In May of 2015, a group called the Strategic Athletic Training Alliance, which is a compilation of four groups, including our accrediting agency, made the decision to move the entry-level athletic training degree to the master's level. The justification for the decision is largely related to facilitating continuing evolution of the professional competencies to address clinical practice requirements of future athletic trainers in the healthcare arena. And also, at the graduate level, we see better retention of students who stay in the profession. And as such, the master's level education will likely attract students who are better prepared to assimilate the increasingly complex concepts that are foundational for athletic training practice. So that's kind of a justification that the Strategic Alliance had. So we worked diligently with our new faculty group in the fall to create a new curriculum that expands and adds depth and breadth to our current bachelor's level program to make sure that it matches what is expected of programs at the master's level, and it's gone through our curricular channels, and we're very proud to get it to this point.
So the university recommendation is that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse the request for a Master of Science in Athletic Training degree to be offered by the Department of Kinesiology and Physical Education within the College of Education, and ask that the President forward this request by means of his report to the Board of Trustees for approval at the June 16th meeting.
May I have a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. With no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 7D is an annual report we make on oral English proficiency of classroom instructors. The governing boards of Illinois public institutions are required by a public act, 84-1434, to take appropriate steps to ensure that classroom instruction is not affected negatively by a lack of English proficiency. We take this obligation seriously. Annually, we report to you. This year, I'm pleased to say that of the 48 departments that were requested to provide information, there were no complaints received this year about the English proficiency of our classroom instructors. These departmental reports are kept on file in the office of the provost, and this is labeled as an action item, so I assume the action is for the committee to accept this report. And forward it by way of the President's report to the full board.
May I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
I do have a discussion. We've got the annual report 2014-15. Is that correct?
That is actually correct because we report on the previous academic year. We are not in the 16-17 academic year yet.
15-16.
Right, but we don't have all of those data compiled, so that this is actually the typical lag time with which we present the report to you.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
I believe that concludes the university recommendations that require action, and we now move to university report, item 8B, in accordance with the change in the agenda. And I call upon our Chief Diversity Officer, Bernice Etchell-Walden, to present her report.
Good to be here this morning, almost afternoon. In 2015, the Diversity and Inclusion Task Force recommended a creation of the Chief Diversity Officer position in order to execute NIU's revised mission statement by engaging our community and off-campus community. Our mission statement expresses a commitment to a community of diverse people, ideas, services, scholarly endeavors, in a climate of respect for the intrinsic dignity of each individual. The two central ideas that guided the task force recommendations was a need for an institutional definition of diversity and a cabinet-level position to lead and coordinate the many diversity efforts on campus. In August, I began to develop a cohesive and actionable vision and plan for our longstanding commitment to diversity. And in order to accomplish this, I needed to engage the campus at large, faculty, staff, and students, as well as our community in DeKalb and Sycamore. After 9 months, I have made tremendous strides in trying to engage our community and our campus and off-campus, campus and community, surrounding community, ensuring that people from a variety of areas on campus have a voice in the implementation of the task force recommendations. We've also worked to create and to collaborate on fulfilling the spirit of those recommendations. one of the major projects have been implementation plan of the Diversity Task Force report. And there are also, I might add, additional reoccurring themes, which you'll see, that are also found in the program prioritization report around diversity and inclusion. So today, I wanted to share with you some of the initiatives from the action plan that will help us improve equity and diversity, promote inclusive excellence in research, artistry, and scholarship, which we do believe can prepare students to be more competitive in the global arena. Here you'll see a few of the key initiatives and the reoccurring themes that came out of the program prioritization report. Much of these themes and the initiatives require community engagement. Today, I'll begin by talking about our community and campus engagement work and then move into talking about the academic efforts that align with the Diversity Task Force report and recommendations. As in one of the ambassadors for the university, it is important for me, and it plays a major role in my role as Chief Diversity Officer, that I am able to work in the community and to develop strong partnerships. And I do this with collaboration with the Office of Community Relations and Jennifer Gross. Two of those partnerships that we have cultivated have been with the DeKalb Human Relations Commission, as well as the DeKalb School District, and the Multicultural Committee. Additionally, I have been able to spend the last 9 months cultivating relationships with community members in the Beloved Community, which is a group that gets together monthly to talk about racial reconciliation, the DeKalb Police Department, DeKalb City, the City of DeKalb, and just also our new and beautiful DeKalb County Library. These partnerships have been established, have allowed us to not only create relationships with these organizations, but also to provide opportunities for smaller discussions around diversity, two of which we have had the opportunity to do in March. First, we started with the First Amendment, free speech, and peaceful assembly, and then ended in April with our allies in interfaith, where we engaged the DeKalb community. Additionally, in partnership with Dr. Katrina Caldwell, who's the Associate Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, we have been able to organize, and she has led social justice training for DeKalb School District faculty and staff, as well as facilitated student peace circles for DeKalb High School, which were actually facilitated by NIU staff. While partnerships are very important, we also wanted to make sure that we were executing the Diversity Task Force recommendations. So one of those recommendations was to develop the diversity dialogues, which I just mentioned. And one was in March, and that was on free speech and First Amendment, and the second was on interfaith. The theme for this, I add, is intersectionality, which did allow for all of these dialogues to be able to talk about multiple ways that communities are impacted around identity and diversity. I also wanted to just say that one other milestone for us with the commissions has been that on the day that we launched the Allies in Interfaith, we also launched our new presidential commission supported by our President Baker on interfaith initiatives. We also secured a reflection space on campus for interfaith communities to gather, which will be available for use in the fall. I'd also add that in partnership with the Presidential Commission on Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity, Human Resources, and Student Affairs, we are also in the process of implementing single-stall gender-inclusive restrooms on 3 floors in Home Student Center as a way for us to serve our transgender community as well as families and individuals who may need assistance in the restrooms. We've also had an opportunity to develop a more inclusive web page, which I have to thank Holly Nicholson for. She has been a tremendous ally to our office in developing this web presence, as well as Taylor Hayden. I also developed a strong relationship with other colleagues in marketing and communications to ensure that our web presence was also aligned with our diversity initiatives. And through this particular site, which actually launched the same day as the Allies in Interfaith, we have been able to create a dialogue reflection page, which after every dialogue, you are able to go online and provide feedback on questions that come up from the diversity dialogue. It gives people the opportunity, if they had not had a chance to participate, to have an online opportunity to do that. We've also increased the diversity web presence to reflect NIU's rich diversity. And I'm happy to say that this summer, we will hold a diversity retreat and workshop that will begin alignment of all campus-wide activities, diversity initiatives, so we can establish moving forward in 2016-17 a university-wide diversity calendar. We are also working with the Office of Affirmative Action and Equity Compliance. We work closely with this office to support the implementation of the recommendations made by the NIU VAWA committee last summer. The first collaboration was with faculty and the Affirmative Action and Equity Compliance Office to develop a survey instrument entitled the College Experience Survey, which we administered in April to measure NIU's climate, student attitudes, and behaviors related to sexual misconduct. And we hope to learn more from this data as the data is still being collected. Additionally, I work very closely with this office to make sure that we are meeting the needs of training programs and prevention and awareness education. Having reviewed our community and campus engagement work, now I wanted to talk a little bit more about the academic work that my office is leading. For better stewardship of our time and resources, we are creating the Committee for Academic Equity and Inclusive Excellence by restructuring two existing committees, the Committee on Multicultural Curriculum Transformation and the Academic Diversity Program Advisory Council. We're ensuring that these committees become one, and this will allow for us to take a unified approach to updating the way we approach multicultural curriculum transformation and cultural competency. The charge of this committee is to develop a strategic plan and approach to re-envisioning the human diversity requirement, expanding faculty-student research opportunities, and implementing the academic equity plan, as well as a clear definition for diversity. And many of these themes were also brought out in program prioritization, as well as in the diversity task force report. Central to this plan is to make sure that we are cooperating with the colleges for the best use of our resources to support academic equity and excellence and to realize the educational benefits of diversity. We also are in aligning the NIU's commitment to student research, centered research, by creating an intellectual community with diverse perspectives, revitalizing our approach to operationalizing the human diversity requirement. We are being able to take on a new approach that will allow for us to ensure that all NIU students who would be required to complete a human diversity requirement or an experience prior to graduating. And this summer, this committee will work on developing the criteria that would be used for this requirement. This degree requirement is set out by the Illinois Public Act 87581. Additionally, we are also going to be looking at expanding our student research model to increase engagement of faculty in diverse research opportunities with students of color. We believe that these changes will allow NIU to adopt new and expand existing national best practices on student engagement and to better prepare students with the intercultural competencies needed to strengthen their career success in the global workforce. And then finally, I'll just touch upon the collaboration that we have created with the college deans. We are addressing comprehensive academic equity and inclusion of diverse students of color, gender identity, and disabilities by creating and asking the colleges to create and implement strategic plans related to this theme to increase retention and the graduation rates of these groups, another theme that also came out in program prioritization. We also want to make sure that we support technology accessibility and gender inclusion. It is so important for us to do this work together. I tell everyone I cannot do this by myself. It definitely takes the entire institution. And I've just listed a few of the stakeholders that are required. And I look forward to coming back at another time and talking more about the updates that we have as we continue to execute this action plan. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Great report.
Thank you.
So you touched at the very end with respect to retention and graduation rates, but I'd be curious if there are any measures of success, right? So 5 years down the road, the impact that your department and your spirit has had would be determined to be successful if what?
Sure. So part of what we are doing with this restructured committee is really using that as a place for us to report out progress in terms of data. We have, he's standing behind the, but Greg Barker and Ed Klonowski and I work together, and we are looking at baseline data for how we can then measure success around increasing retention. Yeah. We're also looking at developing retention strategies that we hope that we can see you implement those that we can see some change over time. So these committee meetings that we have will be report outs on perhaps a dashboard type process to understand if we are able to move the needle in that direction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John.
Can you tell us more about the public act that you cited and what are some of the ways in which an institution can be compliant with that act?
Sure. So before I came to NIU, I was at City Colleges, and I spent a lot of time working with this act because the act was developed in 1991, and it says the language is a little dated in that it says that public colleges and universities must require students to graduate with a general education course. That has been, I think, across the state, that is interpreted widely, which is great for NIU because we have an opportunity to shape and develop a criteria for what we would consider as human diversity courses. So right now, there are national best practices that we're looking at where other institutions, even outside of the state of Illinois, have implemented this human diversity requirement. So it could be a course that a student takes, one course. It could be multiple, a variety of courses that students can take. Or it could be, and this is where we're expanding our definition, it could be an approved experience. So they might go to Mexico for a week. It might not be tied to a course for credit, but it's an experience that has transformed their lives and facilitated by a faculty member. So we have the latitude to develop that implementation.
Other comments? Just a quick question. Is there a possibility in the future for internships in the program by some of the students?
in my office? I would love that. Actually, I'm working with Chad Glover's office right now. We've developed a job description so that students can be a part of the Academic Diversity Office. And I also have two graduate assistants that are, one is in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences and one is in the College of Law.
Okay.
I
believe you're going to introduce the next agenda item.
I am. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce my colleague, Dr. Fred Hoard, the founder and executive director of the Association of Black Cultural Centers, with whom I recently reunited when we both joined the NIU family in 2015. I'm smiling because it was a long time ago, and he and I have been joking that we met when I was three, he was five, in 1989. I am in a unique position now to introduce him. He is a nationally renowned scholar, and I've known that since 1989, and a poet who has just published his eighth book, I am Because We Are, Readings in Africana Philosophy. Dr. Hoard is known for his diverse scholarly interests and his dedication to scholarship, artistry, and mentorship. Hosting ABCC on our campus is symbolic to our commitment to diversity, but more importantly, Dr. Hoard provides leadership and expertise in research and national best practices on how our academic and cultural centers can really move forward. Additionally, NIU can benefit from the large professional network that you'll hear about today that ABCC has built across the country. And Dr. Hoard is going to present to us today a very brief overview of ABCC and its relationship to NIU and national organizations and its current initiatives. So please welcome Dr. Hoard.
Thank you, Dr. Walden. That two-year difference remains. When the ABCC board met last month at Ohio State University, they knew this was happening, and they asked me to express our gratitude for this opportunity. And I know some of you. Some of you have already expressed interest, support for what we do, and given the time, I'll try to be as brief as possible. The ABCC, National Association for Black Culture Centers, started in 1988. I had gone to West Virginia University after a three-year stint at Howard University to open up their first Black Culture Center fairly late in the game for culture centers, 1987. Early the next year, I attended an American Council for Education National Conference in Washington, D.C. The excitement about the possibility of a new national organization was just incredible. So I went back to the person to whom I reported, Rusty Dernley, and told her, and we actually scheduled a first conference there in 88 that actually got into the Chronicle for Higher Education. Bottom line is my mother called me, asked me to come back to the Midwest to help extend the life of my father. So I left to go to Knox. John McCall picked it up. So the conference where Dr. Caldwell and I met happened then to be in 1989 at Knox College. Our mission primarily is to celebrate, promote, critically examine the cultures of each ethnic group to understand their historical connections and what the meanings of those connections are. Recently, we have not just added Latino culture centers and Asian American culture centers and Native American culture centers, which we do not have here, the latter, but we have added them in a way that they connect with the history and culture of African-descended people. We believe this organization paves the way for the highest standards in cultural competence, I often refer to it as cultural literacy, leading to authentic integration, which I believe can only come from mutual respect for all culture, knowledge of all cultures. Anything less than that may be called integration. I would argue it might be just assimilation. We believe in reference to ABCC supporting this institution, though we've been here less than 11 months, that one, we strengthen your brand and your reputation. This is the third ABCC national headquarters. It has been at Knox. It was at North Carolina State for about 3 years. It returned to Knox, and then we moved here. And so people around the country are aware that this organization, which goes back to 88, we had our 25th anniversary conference last November, that it means something to serve as national headquarters. One of the things we heard in the early discussion of this was, you do accreditation? I said, yes, the Association for Black Culture Centers does accreditation. We are the only organization of our type that accredits these Black, Latino, Native American, Asian American culture centers. And we see a possibility, and there's already been some early discussion of this, of the three centers here, the Center for Black Studies, the Asian American Center, and the Latino Resource Center, for them to go through this process. It's not an easy process, but it's like accreditation with anything academic. It means something once you achieve it. We also believe that, I've heard student retention two or three times earlier today. Since November 2007 in our conference at University of Missouri Columbia, we have had special workshops on student retention. I've even developed my own model called the measure that there's not time to talk about. But the important thing is, we think it is important that these centers are able to demonstrate that they contribute to the retention of students past just the anecdotal stuff. And we think we're moving ahead with that, and we see some bright days ahead. At another level, I believe that my father taught me not to talk about myself very much. So when I start doing that, it will not only be very, very quick, but it's just something I don't do well. But I believe that given my own background, the eighth book just came out about a couple weeks ago, the scholarship in philosophy, in history, in literary criticism, in poetry, with new books coming out on the New Negro, Blacks in Latin America, with the fact that I've both directed academic programs and departments and directed culture centers, that both of those things will strengthen the student retention efforts and the university community. The curricular leadership that you already have, we believe that what we do will strengthen the innovative curricular leadership. We're doing some incredible research right now in this building down the hall on three of the ethnic-specific groups, on Latinos, Afro-Latinos, Afro-Asians, and on Native Americans. We have a young second-year undergrad student who works out of the provost office, who, if you looked at him, he looks like a tall, thin black guy. But he has Chinese ancestry, he has Japanese ancestry, and I assigned him this Afro-Asian piece, and he really is just having a lot of fun with it. We think that what we're doing in terms of the kind of research, in fact, if you go to the website, abcc.net, you will see an early version of 50 preliminary books that we're recommending if you're interested in blacks and Latinos in this country, and beyond that if you're interested in Mexico, Cuba, and Brazil. Working with Dr. Etchell Walden is already a pleasure. Each of us is comfortable with the other, and working with her academic diversity, equity, and inclusion is really important. I serve on her diversity dialogue committee. So we think that we can strengthen ethnic studies here, as well as what academic these three centers do. And I'm certainly am committed to that. We have an independent speakers bureau called the Kuumba Programming Series. Kuumba means creativity. It's the fifth day of the non-religious holiday of Kwanzaa, meaning creativity. When my daughter went to Harvard, she said one thing that kept her there and out in 4 years, that she was a member of the Kuumba Choir. So that we believe that independent speakers bureau will have several advantages for NIU. It will have opportunities for all NIU faculty, staff, and students to engage these very well-known scholars and performers, of which we have more than 60. Publication opportunities we also think we shall enhance for faculty, staff, and students. The second book on culture centers will be out probably not until the spring of next year. Initially, we thought it would get out yet this fall by the time we have our 26th conference at LSU. Probably next spring. But the key thing here is there are four chapters in that book by NIU faculty and staff. As there were three presentations at the 25th anniversary conference by NIU faculty and staff. And for a number of years, students have regularly attended this conference, largely through the efforts of Dr. Laverne Guyant. The quarterly, remember sharing this with the president recently, as well as with the provost, we just shifted a twice a year 12-pager to a quarterly, it's called NOMO, which means the power of the word. We have gone from 24 pages of publication to 80 pages a year. We think we are approaching the point where we can begin to talk seriously about becoming a referee journal, which is, as you know, a great thing. As I wind down, not much bad to say about our Afro-Latino initiative, and wanted to give it just a little special prop. We knew some time ago that this would be the next step. Way back in 2002, when we had a conference at Miami of Ohio, another MAC university, we brought in Piri Thomas, a black Puerto Rican, to discuss down these main streets. But what we're doing with the Afro-Latino initiative, we've had two or three conversations with Dr. Alejandro de la Fuente, who is director of Harvard's Afro-Latin American Research Institute. His work, for which he is most well known, is on blacks in Cuba. Want to try to get him to campus, want to try to get him to the conference, and we just think it's a great connection and a great plus for NIU. The two premier journals in Afro-Latino studies, we have connections with both of them. In Vanderbilt, for some time, it used to be Illinois, and then it went to Missouri, but for some time, Vanderbilt has published Afro-Hispanic Review. William Luis is the editor. He's out of the country at this point. It's connected to one of our board members, Dr. Frank Dobson, who runs that culture center. And then secondly, Pilara, less well known but also a premier journal that comes out of the College of Charleston, connected to our secretary, Dr. Teresa Smith. Dean Antonio Tillis is the editor and does a lot of work on black and Latino literature. Afro-Latino scholars, our staff, Donnie Forty, our webmaster, Terry Duffy, our executive assistant, we have been thrilled with the responses that we have gotten in the last 3 months to the Afro-Latino initiative. We started with just scholars that were doing works on blacks and Latinos in this country, with the next move being out to blacks in Latin America. We have heard from most of the 13 scholars. They have said that they will send book reviews for our newsletters. They have expressed interest in being a part of our Independent Speakers Bureau, and they've also expressed interest in coming and presenting at our conference. So really, really nothing bad that I know of yet that is going on with that initiative. So finally, we think that the increased visibility of Northern Illinois University through our national networking is really important. The mainstream organizations that many of you in this room probably know, such as ACPA, the American College Personnel Association, NASPA, the National or Student Administrators, they changed their name. It used to be National Association of Student Personnel Administrators, but they've changed that name. And then NANAWA and Dr. Walden recently went to a conference in San Francisco, the National Association of Diversity Officers in Higher Education. We're working with all three. I won't try to lay out the specifics because I've taken more time than I had planned. We also are working with ethnic-specific organizations. The one that I will mention is ASALA because Dr. LaVon Neal is here, and for some years she has been a co-editor of Black History Bulletin. Just yesterday, I talked to the president, Dr. O'Brien, at Northeastern at JDOT. That is the John D. O'Brien think tank, and they're going to be at NCORE in a couple of weeks, and of working out some better arrangements with ABCC. The MAC universities, we started here. We went to the three centers. We focused on where we are. And then we've given more attention than any other single thing to the MAC universities. We have four universities in. One was actually through the help of your president, who in his meeting made an announcement, and then we heard shortly thereafter from Ohio University. We think that the work that we're doing with the MAC universities is very, very important, especially since NIU is a member. The ACM colleges and the GLCA colleges, Associated Colleges of the Midwest, the Great Lakes Colleges Association, I just say that simply to say that we are more than a university conference, that we also have a number of great liberal arts colleges in the organization. So let me end by inviting you to our conference this fall, October the 27th. It's usually the first week in November, unless there's a home football game, which we've been a little bit reluctant to compete with. So we're going to be at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, a fairly young Black Culture Center. The young lady there just got her PhD, maybe in the last month, and is our vice president. The theme is Culture Centers, Campus and Community Organizing to Make Lives Better. And I say to you as one way to bring this to a close. I know you all believe this. But culture centers and the work we do on these campuses, we have to maintain touch with the wider community. One of the things I like least is when the gown is separated from the town, and we're committed for that not happening. These centers, these ethnic studies programs, would not exist had it not been for the ferment of the community. Our Professional Development Institute that we started at Wright State University in 2011 is a great thing. People are saying, wow, now we can come, we can say to our superiors, this is why we need to attend the conference, because it always opens with a Professional Development Institute. And finally, as a first, this year, Lakeitha has had a regional student leadership conference. And students are not so critical to the president, as he always reminds us, and to provost, but to us as well. We are combining what they call the Multicultural Leadership Conference, which is student-run and led, with the National Association for Black Culture Centers. So we expect not only the numbers to go up, but for it to really be a great conference. And the following year, the conference will be here. That was passed by the board. So now the work is to be done. 2017, the 27th conference of the Association for Black Culture Centers will be held here at Northern. Thank you. And I'm open to any questions, if there's time.
Starting across. With no questions, then, we will say thank you.
guess we're up to other matters.
Yep. Are there any other matters to come before this committee? Okay, I guess we can give the next meeting date then, and that will be August the 25th, 2016. And I will ask for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.